Now there were many of those priests, since death prevented them from coming, from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Father, tonight we pray that you will once again make it possible for us to preach. We pray that you'll touch our lips to speak, our ears to hear. You know, Lord, our purpose tonight is to glorify and lift up our Savior. We pray that you'll make that possible too. Open our hearts, we pray, as we worship you, and then as we bring joy to your heart by making you our personal Savior and meter of needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Any Bible student knows that the key word of Hebrews, well, tell me, what is it? I heard it. Better. Right. Never forget it. The key word to Hebrews is better, because the writer of Hebrews, the Holy Spirit through the writer of Hebrews, is telling us that Jesus Christ is the better revelation. He's the better Savior. He's better than anything that ever came along before, as true as it might have been. This better idea applies powerfully in the matter of the ability of Jesus Christ to meet us at the very point of our deepest need, our uttermost need. I just want to look briefly tonight at the three phrases of this beautiful text. He's able is the first phrase. He is able. If we want to see the ability of Jesus, we need to contrast Jesus with everyone else that we might expect to be able to help us at some point of need in our lives. The writer of Hebrews invites us to compare Jesus with anybody else, no matter how beautiful, how wonderful. And it's certainly been our testimony, each of us, at some point in our lives, that we have gone to someone for help, and we've been helped, perhaps, through Christ, or we've gone to people for help, and we've been failed. They failed us. Jesus is able to meet our needs. Some people we might expect to help us when we go to them don't even care, or at least we get the idea that they don't care. I'm sure that as a pastor I've failed a lot of people that have expected me to care more than I have. I wonder sometimes if Jesus would like to care through me, but I'm not sensitive, and I wonder if we could apply that truth, each of us. There are times when Jesus would like to care for people's needs through us. But the fact of the matter is that some people we might expect to help us really aren't that much concerned about our burdens. Maybe they've got burdens of their own. Maybe they just don't care about us at all. Then there are others who do care deeply, and yet, as the writer of Hebrews is saying here, they fail us at the point of human frailty. And I'm sure I failed a good many people at one time or another, failed to help them because maybe I wanted to, I desired to with all that was within me. And yet I just couldn't grasp their problem, or I didn't know what to say, didn't know what to do. Some people even have the audacity to grow old on us and to die. And, you know, we've put our faith and our trust in them, and they've meant a lot to us, and when they go, we don't know what we're going to do without them. Do you ever have somebody that you really depended upon? You thought they'd always be there. Just recently, this has been happening to me as far as my teacher is concerned. What else can I say? That's the highest compliment I give to my teacher. And I realize that she hasn't gone yet, thank the Lord, and today I was discussing with her about the eternal yes. She told me how she made that yes to the Lord. And I realized one of these days she's going to be gone. And I've considered that and thought about it. And she will fail me at the point of her human frailty. I think of a number of years ago, actually over 20 years ago now, 21 or 2 years ago, in my first pastorate, had a great big Finnish fellow that he was my spectacular convert. If I've ever had a spectacular convert in my life, I had one that was this great big drunkard. His name was Walter Lonner. He weighed about 265 pounds and it was solid blubber. No, it was solid muscle. And he worked in a steel furnace down in Youngstown Sheet and Tube, Youngstown, Ohio, Boardman, Ohio. And when the Lord saved him, it was from night to day. He was the talk of the whole little, I couldn't call it a town. Cherry Valley, Ohio is just where two roads cross. And you can go out and holler as loud as you want to and you won't disturb anybody. It's really way out in the sticks. But everybody knew Walter Lonner. He was the guy that had the dumpy little house that was falling off its foundation. And the church had gone out and bought his kids shoes sometimes so they could come to Sunday school. And he beat his wife. And several other things. He wouldn't mind me talking like this now. Because Walter Lonner's still solid with the Lord. But you know, when he got saved, I talk about him every once in a while. But when he got saved, it was spectacular. It was from night to day. And it was about 6 months or a year after he was saved that I got up in the pulpit one Sunday morning and said, the Lord's calling me somewhere else and I'm leaving here. And you know, you don't just watch everybody when you preach, but in a little church you can see everybody's face, and something happened to Walter's face, and you know, bing. And when you go to the back of the church on Sunday morning and you shake the people out of the church, you know, I didn't shake Walter out. He just zipped right by me. Didn't say a word. Great big guy. And I thought, Walter's mad. He didn't speak to me for 2 weeks. He wasn't nasty. He just didn't speak. And finally he came up to me and he said, I've been puzzling over whether you saved me or whether Jesus saved me. And he said, I've decided Jesus saved me. And I said, praise the Lord. And I said a dumb thing. And I said, I only moved about 75 miles. So I said, Walter, if you ever really get in trouble, you want to pray in a hard place, I'll be just 75 miles down the road in that water. Why don't you drive down and we'll have prayer? He said, nope. He said, if I ever get in trouble, I'll get down on my knees. He says, Jesus saved me. He can help me in my knees. And I said, that's great. Now, Walter's driven hundreds of miles since then to see me. And on his vacation sometime, you see him drive up with the boat on top of his car and the little house trailer he built behind him. He's a unique fella. But he's praising the Lord. He really got his feet down and realized that it was Jesus that was able. And not just some sweetest frame. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And I'm so glad this evening that Jesus is able to meet us at our point of need. It says here that he ever lives. That's the difference. The ones we trust, the ones we love, the ones that have meant so much to us, the best, will fail us because of human frailty. But it says here that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. Jesus probably will use fallible people to help us. And when Jesus comes through to answer prayer, it'll probably be in the form of some brother or sister. You may be an answer to Jesus' prayer. But the focus of our faith always has to be on Jesus. And if I fail you as pastor, your pastor fails you, or someone that's precious doesn't seem to care, remember, Jesus does care and Jesus is able. Which brings me to the second phrase here. It says he's able to save completely. Or it says in the King James, I like that a little better in this particular verse. He's able to save to the uttermost. What does that mean? Uttermost means, as far as I'm concerned, it means as far as you've gone from God. Or as far as you are, wherever you are. You might think you're too wicked to be reached, or you're too insignificant, or you're too something. And I want to tell you this evening, Jesus can reach you where you are. That ought to encourage you tonight. You don't know what a mess I've made, Pastor. You don't really know how far I am from the Lord. Jesus is able to save where you are tonight, to the uttermost. He's able to save past you, as far as that's concerned. And then this word uttermost, really the primary meaning here, has to do with time. He's able to save forever. Uttermost means as long as Jesus himself lives and has vitality, he will be your Savior. Praise the Lord. He'll never abandon you. Does it make you feel insecure that your eternal life is tied to Jesus? If he ever ceases to exist, you won't? That's a pretty sound footing, isn't it? Pretty solid footing tonight. As long as Jesus lives, we will live. Praise God. He's able to save us to the uttermost. I'm not worried about that application of this truth. Then I don't think I'm doing any scripture injustice by saying that this word completely. I wouldn't be a very good holiness preacher if I didn't believe that it really means and implies here that Jesus is able to save to the very depths of my soul's pollution. Livingstone Abali has been testifying a lot lately, at length, about the need for holiness. By the way, Livingstone said something the other night that a lot of people don't have the courage to say. I don't know if you heard him or not. Sometimes he speaks very correct English, but sometimes it's a little hard to understand. But he said, I believe in holiness. I've been studying holiness. But I don't know that I'm sanctified yet. And I'm going to keep on pushing until I am. I'm not embarrassing you by talking that way, my brother. That's right. And so I'm glad to pronounce tonight from the pulpit, on the authority of God's word, what he's been telling us in testimony, that Jesus Christ is able to save not only in the depths of sin where I am, not only to save to the utmost time bounds of eternity, but Jesus Christ is able to save into the depths of my soul, down to the uttermost pollution, the depths of my unclean heart. Jesus Christ is the only one who can sanctify and purify the springs of my soul until everything belongs entirely and wholly and unreservedly to God. I believe in a crisis where the Holy Spirit helps us to die to self. Holy God's. Until the mighty power of the Holy Spirit fills and cleanses and then makes us fruitful to the glory of the Father. Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. Praise God. And I pray that he'll raise up a lot of people like Livingstone who are willing to say where they are with God. And if they're not sanctified, holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, they'll become candidates, become seekers after the blessing. I tell you, when we get a good sizable group of people around here that are filled with the Holy Spirit, that have died to self and died to sin, and are experiencing this uttermost salvation, I tell you, revival will be here. Praise God. Doesn't mean that there's not room for growth. Doesn't mean that sanctification is not a process beyond the crisis. As we heard Dr. Greathouse preach so eloquently last year. But still, we cannot minimize that crisis. We have to press in to the uttermost salvation. Last phrase. He's able to save completely those who come to God through him. This great Savior has a limitation. This great Savior is limited. Does that shock you that I say he has a limitation? There's no question in my mind about Jesus' ability. There's no question in my mind about his love, the fact that he cares for you. He knows the situation you're in. He knows your backsliding, or he knows your pollution of heart, or he knows the trial that you're going through. But because he respects your personality, because he respects my personality so very much, Jesus just will not move in unless he's asked. He's able to save. He's able to save to the uttermost, but he's only able to save them that come unto God by him. That kind of puts the responsibility back on me, doesn't it? John Calvin would sadly say that there are those that have been predetermined to be saved. Many a person's lost his soul because of a passive attitude towards salvation. Many a person's lost his mind because he thought he wasn't among the elect. But the Bible makes it clear the choice is yours. Jesus' word to you is strive. Strive to enter in the straight gate. And unless you make an effort to believe, unless you reach out to receive this great Savior, his great ability to save you to the uttermost just goes for nothing. And whatever the situation, whatever the uttermost is that you need salvation or you need the Savior to meet your need, remember, he's limited at the point of your receiving him. You know, this applies also, matter of fact, when we go to trials and frustrations and burdens after we've been sanctified. He's waiting to bring peace and victory. And we can have a life of constant growth in him. But very often we forget this principle. He's able to meet the needs completely of them that come to God by him. And sometimes people are frustrated and they're wondering why it is they're defeated in their spirit. And you say, have you specifically and have you pointedly, have you given this situation to God? Well, I prayed about it. Have you given it to him? And the word is clear there. He's able to save to the uttermost. I believe that. If he's not able, if he can't meet your need, I'll quit preaching. I'm here to declare the integrity of God. You can count on him. You can believe him. You can trust him. Praise the Lord. He's able to save to the uttermost. But you have to come to God by him. And I'd invite you this evening, whatever your need is, wherever you are, whether it be for salvation or whether it be for cleansing and sanctifying grace, whether it be you're going through a trial, remember our great Savior. Try to lift him up this evening. He's able to meet your need. He's able to meet your need to the uttermost. He knows where you live. He knows the situation you're going to be in tomorrow. And tomorrow. But he's only able to save them that come to God by him.